Shalom everyone, and we are this week reading Parashat Vayera. It's in the book of Genesis, chapter 18, verse 1. Vayera elav Adonai belonei mamre v'yoshev petach ohel kechom hayom. And God is being revealed to him in Elonei Mamre, and he is sitting at the opening of the tent at the heat of the day. Each word over here is a code for the whole universe of understanding. So what have we got in the previous parasha, Lech Lecha? Abraham is starting his real journey to reveal. Basically, as we're going to see, it's a journey of humanity to reveal the connection, the true connection with God, with the Creator. But there are stages. You don't make a connection at once. It's not zero or one. And therefore, you know, a lot of people are asking the questions, how come Abraham reveals the idea about circumcision only when he is 99 years old, which means everything he did before is no good? And the answer is we have to understand it's not zero or one, white or black. It is, life happens in the gray, in between the stages. This is what we have to accept about the world around us. Why is it that the world has no just? There's no justice. It's a process. We, humanity, are going through the process. So at the end of the parasha of Lech Lecha, just a few verses earlier, we in chapter 17, Abraham finally, at the age of 99, he circumcises himself, his son Ishmael, and their house servants. And this parasha is starting, according to the commentators, on the third day later, when the pain, especially when you're 99 years old, is the strongest. And then on that day, God reveals himself to Abraham like never before. So when we use the word vayera, we are talking about the root, re'iya, reish aleph hei, which is to see. But here in this context, we are talking about revelation. Revelation, a prophetic revelation. And here we are talking about the prophetic revelation of Yud Ke Vav Ke, the holy name of God, on the highest level since the sin of Adam. So humanity, 2,000 years after the sin of Adam, is right now experiencing a real quantum leap after Abraham is doing the Brit, okay? Which means it's not just circumcision. It's like in Hebrew, the word is Brit. Brit means in Hebrew, it's not relating to the act of the cutting of the foreskin. It's relating to the act of making a covenant. Okay, so now the question is, why is it important for us to understand that Abraham is sitting at the opening of the tent, and why do we need to know how hot was that day? And this is very important because in this parasha, we have a few topics we have to understand that are being, that they just give us the evolution of laying the basics, the foundations of the development of humanity, which will lead finally to the messianic era, as we read in the Zohar. You don't read it in the Torah, but it's hinted over there. So we have, first of all, the three angels coming to Abraham. One heals Abraham from his circumcision. The second one is giving the blessing that Sarah is going to give birth to Yitzhak a year from that moment. Okay, the third angel came to tell Abraham about Sodom and Gomorrah, And he, after that, went to Sodom and Gomorrah to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. So, what's the connection between Abraham's revelation and Sodom and Gomorrah? We'll see later. After the end of the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, we have a weird story about Lot is being saved. Abraham's nephew is being saved by the angel, taken out of Sodom and Gomorrah just before they're being destroyed. The wife of Lot is looking backwards and she's killed because of that. Lot survives only with his two daughters. They hide in a cave. They think they are the last human beings left on earth. And in Genesis chapter 19, verse 31, they realize the daughters, they think they are the only living, the only surviving human beings on earth. So they have wine, they get their father drunk, and they get pregnant from him. Okay? And why is that important to our story? Because there's a whole structure built on that. Because on verse 33, chapter 19, where it says that the older one, she made her father drunk and then she slept with him, and he didn't know, he didn't remember anything of that. He didn't know about it. And the last word of verse 33 is the word uvekuma. That he had no idea when she slept with him and when she got up. Okay? But the word uvekuma is written in a weird way in the Torah. In the word uvekuma, there is a vav, the middle of the word, and above that vav, there is a dot. In the Torah, you do not have vowels. You're not allowed to write the vowels. However, there are 10 places in which the Torah adds some dots, nothing to do with the vowels. And here, above the letter Vav, there is a dot. And the Zohar says that dot symbolizes that there is a special spark in that relations that the daughter of Lot got pregnant from her father. From that pregnancy came out a boy. She called him Moav, meaning from the father, which means she got pregnant from her father. From that came the nation of Moab. It's a nation that basically resided in the area which is east of the Dead Sea. Okay. And from that nation came Ruth, the Moabite, that she took that spark, the little dot above Uvekuma, she took that spark, and that is the spark that a few generations later manifested in King David, who is the seed for the Messiah, the son of David. So, how is that connected? That story that, like, for thousands of years, we have over here. The idea that the idea of the Messiah is planted here in the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, and it will finally come to fruition in the end of days in the coming of the Messiah. So I'll explain all of that. After that, we have chapter 21. From chapter 21, by the way, we till the end of the parasha. This is what is being read on Rosh Hashanah in the Torah in the synagogue. So and it's divided into two parts. The first part is the birth of Isaac, chapter 21, and then you have the binding of Isaac. In between, we have this weird story about there's no way that Isaac and Ishmael can grow in the same household. Sarah realizes that she makes sure that they are being that Hagar and Ishmael are being thrown out to the desert. And Ishmael, the father of the Arab nation, is coming from that, still part of the messianic picture. That's an unconditional, like a real condition from the story of the coming of the Messiah. Okay, now we have the peace between Abraham and Avimelech, the king of the Philistines, which is also connected to the story. Whoever knows, the Philistines resided in the area that right now is the Gaza Strip, a little bit long, bigger than that, but that was the center. Okay, and then comes the story of the binding of Isaac, which again has a very strong connection to the Messianic age. So let's see how all of that is connected into a one system, one process. That we are part of that process, and we're starting to witness the fruition of thousands of years that this process is manifesting itself. And now we can see it in front of our eyes. However, as Elijah the prophet, we learn that in Parashat Ki Tavo, in the Zohar, Elijah the prophet said exactly how it's the political background that we can see happening right now. And he said, but whoever has no heart won't be able to realize that that's happening in front of his eyes. So let's start with the Zohar in order to decipher the story that, if you read it at a simple level, it's pretty confusing. Okay, so the Zohar is starting with explaining to us that there is a procedure. There is an evolutionary process in this universe. Nothing comes out, as we said many times before, especially in Parashat Bereshit. There was one time that something was created out of nothing. That time was just before the universe was or existed as one point in which everything was one, time, space, and dimensions, forces, matter, everything was in one spot without any dimensions. Okay? It's very hard for human brain, almost impossible to understand it, but that's why it's called Ein Sof, infinite, the no ending, because our human consciousness can define things only by finite, define. Only when you find the boundaries, we can realize our brain is structured by finding definition, finding boundaries. That's how our mind is working, separating this from that. Boundaries, length, height, whatever, lines, dividing, understanding a dot that has no definition. No, some people say, but it's a circle. No. A dot is not a circle. A geometrical dot is the meeting point of many lines. That meeting point geometrically does not have height, width, and depth. That's what dot is. Can the human brain accept it? Impossible. So, how could the whole universe be one? But then something out of nothing, the vessel was created inside that dot. The vessel contracted itself, pushed away the light. The result was a whole process that the Big Bang was part of it, and physicality has been generated to give space for separation, to give space for confusion, to give space for correction, to give space for the journey of humanity to find its own completion. So let's see how our parasha is basically connected to that. So Rabbi Chiya starts, he opens, Hanitzanim niru baaretz, et hazamir higia vekolato nishma baarzenu. This is a verse from the Song of Songs, chapter 2. The buds have been seen in the earth. The time of the nightingale came, and it's the It's also the sound of the dove is being heard in our land. Okay? It's all a code. הניצנים נראו בארץ, כת בה הקודשה בריחו עלמא. יהב בערה כל חילה דתחזה לה, וכל אהבה בערה, ולה אפיקת איבין בעלמא, עד יתברא אדם. כיוון דתברא אדם, כל היתחזה בעלמא, וערה גליאת איבהה וחילה דתפקדו בה. Here brings a Zohar, a theory that aligns with quantum physics and the uncertainty principle. And this theory says, when it says that the buds have been seen in the land, what is a bud? A bud is the flower before it springs out and blooms. So that's called bud. Okay, nitzan. It's something that is just before it sprouts and appears. It's not appearing yet. And Rabbi Chiya is saying, when God created the universe, he gave in the earth everything. Everything was there. All the power that it needed had there to be the creation. הכל היה בארץ, everything was there. אבל לא הוציא פירות בעולם עד שנברא אדם. However, till Adam was created, everything was in a bud state. In quantum physics, it's called superposition, which means it's a state of undifferentiation, which means it's like the universe, everything in the universe, what is it, on a suspended animation. And that's one of the theories in the uncertainty principle. Before this Adam to witness the creation, if a tree fell in the forest and nobody was there to listen, did it make a sound? Now, our logic says, of course, it made a sound. And modern physics says, it was not measured and consciously perceived, it didn't exist. You can't have a proof for that. It's very hard to accept that idea, but that idea appears here again in the Zohar. That basically, till Adam was created, the way we know Adam, which means as a human being, physical, with consciousness of realizing time and space, okay? Before that, physicality, the universe, earth, rain, plants, beast, whatever we could, weather, all of that, the heavens, the stars, galaxies, all of that was not really there. It was in a potential state. What brought it into appearance is the human consciousness acknowledging the creation. Which means, here I'm talking about, this is a theory of the last century of modern science saying that reality must coincide with human awareness. So I don't want to go into an argument about it because, again, it sounds very, very far-fetched. And as Niels Bohr, the father of quantum physics, said, reality is not logical and logic is not real, which means the more we delve, as Einstein said, the more we delve into quantum physics, it sounds more stupid. It's not logical. But here we're talking about the logic that says if there is a connection between human consciousness and the manifestation of reality, which means I can control reality by controlling my state of mind, which means I must, should, take responsibility for my thinking, for my opinions, for my perspective of basically measuring the world around me because it affects reality. More and more research, and I spoke about it numerous times, shows that when you have a positive attitude towards reality, reality reciprocates. Optimistic people, hopeful people, resilient people that do not give up on hope, they are more lucky and they make more money. Okay? Very simple, which means attitude is most of what reality is about, and your attitude will determine your reality and your future. So, why is that important? Because as we continue, which means the earth, the reality, the stars, everything is related to human consciousness and dependent on the perception of humanity. Then verse 2, Ken ze lo nitnu ha-shamayim kochot la'aretz, ad she-ba'adam. Ze she-katuv ve-kol siach ha-sadeh terem yeh ba'aretz. And then that idea of siach came again. We learn about it in Bereshit. Siach means speech. Okay? Where human beings in Hebrew, you have four levels, like in English: inanimate kingdom, vegetable kingdom, animal kingdom, and human kingdom. In Hebrew, it's a little bit different. You have the inanimate, domem, vegetable kingdom, tzomeach, animal kingdom, chai. But when it comes to human, in Hebrew is medaber, speaking, which means what makes you human? The ability to speak, the ability to perceive the words, mila, speech, siach. And then we get this as a code, important word in the Parashat Bereshit. And then in Parashat Noach, siach is Shem, Cham, Yefet, the three sons of Noach, initials Shem, Cham, Yefet, siach. Then we had in the third parasha, Lech Lecha, siach, that was a number of people that were in the army of the militia of Abraham. Again, it comes to speech. So did he really fight them? Had negotiations with them. There's something about turning around reality with the power of human consciousness and speech. And here it comes again in Parashat Vayera. So before there was human speech, Hashamayim ne'etzu, the heavens have been like constipated, they did not manifest. Ve'lo himtiru al-aretz, and they did not give rain. In Hebrew, to give rain, himtiru, the shoresh is matar, or in English, materialize. Okay, nothing materialized yet. Okay, somehow that verb in Hebrew to materialize transmigrated into English. Mishum shadam ayin, because there's no human being yet. Shelo nimtza ve'odo nivra, as long as Adam speaking did not appear yet, everything is at a potential state. Hakol nitakev, everything is delayed to be revealed. Kevan sheni Adam yad hanitzanim ba'aretz. When Adam appeared, the speaking being that can speak, define, give names, definitions, then the buds sprouted. Reality started to become the reality we know, with definitions, with different kingdoms, with different species, and whatever we call time and space of our reality. All the forces that were in a potential state appeared. So, how long since human beings can really speak Okay. 6,000 years? Millions of years? The ability to speak and to write your ideas is only 6,000 years. What was before? Not, we don't have the tools to define the evolutionary process that was before that. Verse 3, Eta Zamir Egia. It's a time of the nightingale. That's what is being Zamir is being described, the way it's being translated of Song of Songs. But the Zohar has a different idea. Remember, every word in Hebrew could be explained in many ways. What is Zamir? Is it just a nightingale, a bird? No, it is. Zamir comes from the word lezamer, to sing, to praise. Only when Adam was capable of praising God, only then reality could manifest itself. Kol hator nimtza ba'artzeinu, so what's the sound of the dove? This is the speech of the Creator. This the speech of the Creator, shelo haya nimtza ba'olam, miterem sheniva Adam. The speech of the Creator was not there before Adam was created. Why? If there was nobody to listen to it, was there a speech? Was there a sound? Was there a voice? Kol. Voice, kol in Hebrew. Kevan shenimtza Adam, the moment Adam, the way we know him, is there, everything is there. Achar shechata, however, Adam fell. Adam sinned. Nistalek hakol me'olam ve'nitkalela haaretz. But the moment Adam sinned, then what happened in the sin? Humans' thinking had been corrupted. What did that do? The whole creation has been corrupted. Because the moment you look in a corrupt way at your reality, you corrupt reality. And that's why it says, that's why it says, and the earth will be cursed because of you. That is in Genesis. And you, when you work the earth, it will give you thistles and thorns. Then comes another step in the evolution after the sin. Noah comes to the world and he has a different outlook. Therefore, like the whole human economy, agriculture, you read the Torah, it has been changed because Noah was another step in human evolution of perception. And why? Because Noah reached that stage. It is called Brit. And what is Brit? As we said, covenant. But we have to understand that was a stage. Noah was committed to the values of God. He revealed in his wisdom that without those values of commitment to the values of what? Of integrity, honesty, human dignity, human right for their possessions and right and happiness. When Noah understands these ideas, and he understands that these are godly ideas, not human brain ideas, and he accepts them unconditionally. He accepts the covenant. Therefore, we know that human corrupt thinking is self-destructive, which means who is the biggest enemy of the villain? Himself. Because if you look along history, villainy and has a self-destructive mechanism. Who destroyed the empire of evil of the Soviet Union? Self-destructive. Most of the empires of villainy and tyranny and exploitation, they had a self-destructive mechanism. When they were destroyed, could be sometimes they were destroyed by, it looked like, an external power. But basically, the external power was just the last straw. When you're talking about the horrible society of the Aztecs with human sacrifice, oh yeah, they were a very advanced society and culture and rich culture. How could Cortez with 100 horse riders could bring down an empire so big as his own original country? And the answer is they were there idol worshiping and human sacrifice. They simply had a self-destructive mechanism, and that's what happened. And the Torah says it very clearly. How could a few chase thousands only because God sold them? So we have to understand that being evil, it's like crime doesn't pay. You have to remember that. For the long run, Noah survived, and all the people that laughed at him said, "Okay, what's the deal? So you know, the word was corruption. The word was Hamas, which means like kidnapping, and in order to exploit, and so on, which means no, what's the word? No consideration for the human right, for their lives and happiness whatsoever." That's what the Torah is saying. So when humanity collapsed and self-destroyed itself, Noah survived because he discovered the covenant and held to it unconditionally. But that was a preliminary stage. 1,000 years later, the next stage is Abraham. Kevan Sheba Avraham, before that, so when Noah came and he took humanity one step ahead, but he also was not complete. He got drunk and it was not, why? That was not complete yet. Which means the atrocities of that Noah came to fix, he could not stand the temptations, and the earth needed Abraham to fix that. Verse 6, Kevan Sheba Avraham, when Abraham came and he took the idea of the covenant, miyad ha'nitzanim niru ba'aretz, the bud has been seen. Sheperusho nitaknu v'nigalu kol kochot ha'aretz. The earth really could simply manifest itself. Et ha'zamir igia. Now the word zamir, as he said, it could be the nightingale, the singing bird. Zamir could be to lezamer, to sing and to praise God, which means when you have that state of mind and consciousness, which means of celebrating the God's power in the earth, then the powers of God will manifest themselves, which is a very important thing. But the zamir means also to trim, to cut. Cutting what? Cutting the foreskin, cutting the negativity. Kevan shehigia zman ahu shehabrit nimtza ba'avraham, when that time came, and Abraham revealed the idea that the trimming of the foreskin aligns with the covenant, and that came with the word brit, that the brit today, you say in Hebrew, are you going to the brit, which means are you going to the circumcision ceremony? Brit is a covenant. Only then nitkayem bo kol hakatuv hazeh. Now everything finally came into place. Venitkayem haolam, and the world finally was stable. Vadibur, and then hadibur shel hakadosh baruch hu, kol hator nishma ba'artzeinu, the voice of God could be heard, and Abram had his revelation. And that's what it says, Vayera Elav Hashem, and God has been revealed to him. Now, but that was all? No. We are 4,000 years later, and we look around, the world is not stable yet. It was just a very brave, powerful, and important quantum leap, but it was just the beginning of laying the ground. So then comes the idea that Abram had that revelation. God, Hashem, the Tetragrammaton, Yud Kei Vav Kei, has been revealed to him. However, that doesn't align with Parashat Va'era, that's the second parasha in Exodus, Vayera, 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 and he had been revealed to him, Vayera, and I was revealed to him, which means in this parasha, we talk about God reveals to Abraham, and then in Parashat Vayera, God is telling Moses how he was revealed to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And he says, I did not reveal to them in such a level that you just are going to be revealed now in the Exodus, which means we are talking about the revelation that Abraham is experiencing over here is the highest. It's a quantum leap from the sin of Adam. It's not the end of the story yet. The next big step was in the Exodus almost 500 years later. 400 years later, okay? So, why? And the Zohar says because Abraham was just the beginning of the correction, okay? And in this parasha, we're learning about the three stages of the beginning. Now, we have two things over here. In order to understand these two stages, Abraham was that manifestation of humanity, of that idea of total commitment to loving, kindness, sharing, giving, being there for the others unconditionally. That was Abraham. When Abraham created that place and he became a chariot, which means, as we read in this parasha, a very weird word. It's almost in the beginning. When Abram is discussing with God and he's like doing the first thing ever, he's arguing with God about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah, which means here is Abram the first time that a human being is taking responsibility for humanity, for the process of the growth of humanity, for the destiny of all of humanity. He's praying to God, he's arguing with God, he's arguing with destiny. So we see here a very important expression. After that conversation Abram has with God because of his commitment. I can't find that. But first, okay, maybe it's later. What do we have the internet for? Okay, this is in Genesis chapter 17, verse 22. And it says, and God's completed speaking with Abraham, and God, Vayal Elohim al Avraham, and God ascended above Abraham. What? What does it mean? And the Kabbalists are explaining that Abraham became a chariot. What does it mean, a chariot? It means that he, with his actions, with his covenant, with his loyalty and commitment, which is the covenant, in a way that nobody had before, Abraham hacked into the tree of life. It's like he was Neo. Whoever saw the movie in Matrix, he hacked into the tree of life system, and he basically established the road for human beings being able to connect a human physical brain with the metaphysical idea of a sephira, an emanation, which is, in the Abraham's case, this is the sephira of chesed, loving kindness. Now, but that's not enough. In order to activate the system, you need also two more chariot at least. So when we read about the birth of Isaac in this parasha, and how do we see that? Let's go back to the beginning of the parasha, Parashat Vayera, and we see what happens over here. And it says it was a hot day, and the Zohar is explaining to us what does it mean, a hot day. Okay, verse 27 in the Zohar Sulam, Rabbi Ashlag's explanation. When we're talking about Petach Ohel, the opening of the tent, the opening for the upper world, we know that when the left column is shining, and Abraham, by the circumcision, revealed that power of the revelation. God's light. God's light is awesome. It's powerful from God's point of view. He is giving. This is mercy and love. From our point of view, this is judgment. The same way, the sun's light is life. Without the light of the sun, we are dead. There's no life in the whole solar system. Nothing without the sun's light. However, when we connect directly to the light of the sun, that could mean burning. That could mean our end, our demise. Okay? And that is to show us that that is about left column. Okay? And that's why Rashi, the great commentator, is saying, why was it so hot? God took the sun out of its sheath. We know we have today, we know about the ozone layer and the atmosphere, that without it, the sun will burn us alive immediately. Okay, that's why in outer space, the astronauts, they must have a spacesuit, otherwise the sun will burn them alive within a few seconds. Now, so what is the Torah talking about? There is that illumination of the light of God that is very dangerous. And therefore, the Midrash is saying, Abraham, having that revelation, he reaches a high that no one ever reached since Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. He's in epiphany. He is empowered. He's going to explode. And then, uh-oh, we learn that Abraham learned a lot about the nature of the universe. And he realizes when you have so much power, when it can feel like stress, it can feel like you're going on fire, it can feel because the power of the Creator is so awesome. like relatively the sun towards humanity. We need to be protected by the ozone layer, the atmosphere, and so on and so on. And still, we need a sunscreen, we need to be under shade. Just being too much in the sun is deadly. Okay? How do you protect yourself from that awesome power? Okay. And Abraham thinks the only way to do that is by creating the power of chesed, giving. So he's stressed out. In the middle of the epiphany of revelation, he's stressed out. How come there are no guests? You know, you're in the middle of prophetic revelation. Why are you stressed out? Yeah, because of that, he was stressed out. The only way, so that's what the covenant is about. You want things to be great for you? You want power, wealth, wisdom, health, all of that good? You have to be committed, the covenant, to do something good for somebody else. Why? Because the raw energy of God will burn your life. So Abraham is stressed out, and God is sending the three angels. Says the Zohar, why three angels? Here is the birth of the idea that you need the right, chesed, loving kindness, Abraham. You need the left, judgment, okay? Power, that's a left column, Isaac. And you need the central column, Jacob. And the birth of Jacob's power is in this parasha too. How do you do that? Just before that, there's another aspect over here to the idea of the heat of the day. I just don't want to skip that. The heat of the day, we know when we say somebody is in heat, we know somebody is burning out of passion. That's also right. When is that we can draw the power of God? With excitement, with passion, okay? With desire. We are built for that. We are created for that. We are made for that, because if the purpose of the creation is God's will to share with his creatures, then we were created to have passion, to receive God's light. Okay? So we are talking about the passion that awakens from beneath to receive God's light from above. And what do we learn? We learn through the story of this parasha. Slowly, slowly, slowly it unfolds till we come to the binding of Isaac. And in the binding of Isaac, when Abraham is taking Isaac, Abraham is the right column, is the chesed consciousness. The idea that we have to be in unconditional love to everything, to everyone. Okay, we should be only giving. And then comes Isaac, which is about, I'm here to receive. God created me to receive. I'm here to get, to grow, okay, to achieve, to be in heat, with passion, to do things with passion. When Abraham goes to kill that with his knife, you know, the knife is judgment. You kill judgment with judgment. You destroy fire with fire. And then God says, don't touch the lad. Lad, who is the biggest passion? Youngsters. That's why you call them, you know, teenagers, youngsters. They're still having that passion. Why the passion disappears? Because when you activate the passion without the covenant, as we said, passion, desire, selfishness, individualism, I want it for myself, and who cares about anything? Who cares about laws? Who cares about dignity? Who cares about honesty, integrity? Who cares? I just want it. I want it now. I want to get high, no matter what the cost is. Why? I was born to be high. That's right. But if you don't bind your Isaac, and that's what God is saying to Abraham, do not touch that boy in you, that youngster in you, that is passionate to get and to enjoy, to feel high. Don't touch that. It's enough that you bound him. What does it mean? You bound him. Every time you're passionate about something, there's nothing wrong about being passionate. But the covenant. If you're passionate about achieving something, you should having a binding agreement that that something should be in correlation with doing good for others. Which means you want to be rich? Why not? It's amazing to be excited about making money, but only if you have a vision that includes bringing value to others. As I said many times, start with the right foot. What is the right foot? Abram, what is that I want to bring, the value I want to give? You start with that. Because when you do that, you accept the covenant that you bind the passion. Only then, what happens to Abraham? That heat of the day, the passion to receive divinity, to connect to God, he's achieving that. He's in a high state that no one reached before him since Adam. And he's saying, just a second, be careful. That's not going to end well as long as I'm becoming, as long as that controls me. I must awaken Chesed. So the angels come to giving the message about the birth of Isaac, judgment. But how? When a judgment there is always bound by Chesed. Right column, left column. And that's why in the parasha, when they meet him, what do they say to him? They say that's a Genesis 18, chapter 9. Vayomru elav, ayeh Sarai shtecha. And they tell him, they ask him, where is Sarah, your wife? But in the word elav to him, it's one word in Hebrew, there are three dots above the word elav. One above the letter Aleph, one above the letter Yud, and one above the letter Vav. And the Zohar says, why three? Abram, Isaac, and Jacob, planting the idea about that holy triangle. Abram, Isaac, and Jacob, right, left, and center. Segula, where it says a chosen nation, it doesn't say chosen, it says segula. Segula comes from the word segol, the vowel of three dots, this triangle, right, left and center. Abram, Isaac, and Jacob. The positive, the negative, and the synthesis that synthesize the desire to receive for the sake of sharing. That is the healing of humanity. So when we come to the end, because it's like so much to talk about. And the Zohar in this parasha is talking about how that manifests in the Messianic age. That it has to go again, same way from Noah to Abraham, from Abraham to Isaac, Isaac to Jacob. And the birth of Jacob says, they say the commentators, when Abraham comes to Mount Moriah, after 3 days walking with Isaac, 3 days, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And when he sees Mount Moriah, the place of the later on, the Holy of Holies, he sees the birth of Jacob because Jacob could be born only after Abraham is binding Isaac, which means It's another stage of accepting the covenant. It's not just I'm here to give. I'm also committed to receive, to be in heat. What do you mean to be in heat? As we said again, young people are really excited about everything. They want to get everything. They want to get high. What's the problem? A few years later, they become numb, cynical, they're aging. They don't really believe in that enthusiasm anymore. Why? Because they got burned up again and again and again. And what is the reason? Why the passion is simply put down? Because you don't understand. The passion is okay. The passion is great. The passion is part of the covenant. God created you to be passionate. That's the opening of the tent, the opening for the world above. But you, only when you accept the covenant. What do you mean you accept the covenant? You're passionate of achieving with the binding of Isaac, which means I want to achieve greatness in one condition. It's going to align with the covenant with God. It's going to align with honesty, integrity, loving towards others. Then the passion is not high and by. You don't get burnt. You just nurture your passion. Because when you align, when you synthesize your passion to receive with the passion to be there for others, you create a central column. And that is the ultimate, the three column system. That is the completion. When you're there, the more is more, the more you're passionate about achieving, okay? And you synthesize it with giving, that passion will grow and expand and it will never wilt. This is the difference between passion that is coming out of stupidity and being a young adult that does not really get the story, and then passion that becomes a life, a way of life. So we don't have the time so much to go into the revelation of the Messianic age, but just a little bit about it. And as Zoe is saying, that part of the prophecy of the Messianic age, that you will see that the land of Israel will become rich again after the exile, that it was empty, that it was ruled by Ishmaelites as it was empty, a desert. Nothing came out of it. If you read the history of Israel, especially during the Ottoman era, 1517 to 1917, 400 years mentioned in the Zohar, 400 in Parashat Vayera, in which the country became poorer and poorer and poorer. And you read how the Ottomans, they brought the Circassians. They were Muslims from what is Sochi today, south of Russia. They brought them, settled them here to cultivate the land. They brought Chechens from Chechnya in the settlement there. They brought Mughrabis. Refugees, the army that fought France when France occupied Algeria, they brought them also. And they settled them in Jerusalem. They settled them in villages all over. It's like the land simply was not responding. Everything was barren. Then they brought Sudanese to the area, which is today around Caesarea. And the whole country is full of those villages that started with people that the Ottomans brought from Iraq, from south of Russia, from North Africa, from Sudan, from Egypt. You just name it, from Iraq, from Syria. And the land stayed barren. And now the Zohar says one of the signs the Messianic era is coming, Israel will become rich again. And the whole world will start to be fed through Israel. I don't know if you know, but the richness of the world that is right now high-tech based, a lot of it is coming from Israel. A lot of the high-tech, like if we're talking about the greatest high-tech companies in the world, their R&D is in Israel. Many, we can say right now, it's more than 500 of the great international great companies, their thinking tanks is sitting in Israel. So you can see how the Zohar predicted that the richness of the world will be funneling through Israel. And then the prophecy will finally be fulfilled in the Zohar Parashat Vayera, verse 291. Eretz asher lo b'miskenut tochal b'lachem, ela b'asheut, a land that you're not going to eat bread poorly, but with richness. And now that Israel is moving up every year to be one of the richest countries of the world, it's all connected to the prophecies that the world is coming really close to the fulfillment of all the prophecies. But what does it mean? Because the more emunah, faith, will be revealed in Israel and it will affect the whole world, then the more blessing, shorah barachah ha'elyonah, we'll see the blessing that will be a blessing to all the nations of the world. Then we're talking about the stages of the Messianic era that, according to the Zohar, we're already in that process. And that is about the dot, about the Moabite, the birth of the nation of Moab from the daughter of Lot and her father, and how, as the Zohar says in verse 3:11, שלא ידע שעתיד הקדוש ברוך הוא להקים ממנו דוד המלך ושלמה המלך, that Lot did not know that God is going to bring from him King David and King Solomon and all the other kings of the house of David and the King Messiah. Which, of course, the Messianic age is about the fruition of that process that Abraham is starting, that humanity will start to realize that idea of the covenant, that idea that you cannot be selfish, that you need to have that commitment for. You want to be happy, make other people happy too. You want to be successful, be committed for the welfare of your community, your nation, humanity in general. It's like that the two things are connected, the individual success and blossoming and is dependent in your commitment to the success and the blossoming of society. And not just that there's no contradiction, that interdependent, that's called the three-column system. That's called the covenant. That, but what if I can make so much more money and nobody will know it's not honest? And then I can donate a lot. It doesn't work. You cannot fool the system. The system is much more powerful. And then the Zohar is even giving dates. That it's all enigmatic, but the Zohar speaks about, the let the dot is about the vav in the word uvekuma, and the vav is a symbol of the sixth millennium. We're right now 5786. This is towards the end of the sixth millennium, the millennium of the Messiah. Okay, and the hints about the sixth millennium as the millennium of the Messiah are spread in many places. This is one of them. Because this is the letter Vav. And during that millennium, the Zohar is saying, humanity will start to have like a download of the consciousness of the covenant, which means like, you know, the speech about how every individual must, on one hand, be committed for manifesting your own happiness, and at the same time, how every individual must be committed for the welfare of all of humanity, because there's a connection between our individual actions and the welfare of humanity, by because we affect the climate, we affect economy, and most powerful is that we affect all of this with our consciousness, with the way we perceive reality, which means only when we perceive reality in alliance with the covenant, only then the world will be balanced. But if there's no covenant, it's like, no, I'm just, it's just nice to do that. There's no need for God, and there's no awareness for a universe and universal wisdom. Without the covenant to the up between the upper world and the lower world, the right and the left, the giving and the receiving, individualism and the welfare of the community, without that covenant, all the great ideas are just fake. Like, there were so many religions that basically took the Torah, took ideas from the Torah, and created fake religions that on the outside looks like that's a religion. That's a monotheistic religion. No, it's fake because it's not based on these basic ideas and rules. Even these three colors are symbolized by the rainbow. Here we're talking about taking the rainbow and making it a mark for exactly the opposite idea, faking that this is the true universal good idea of tolerance and multiculturalism, and you just whatever you want. But it's not. It's not about commitment to universal godly ideas. So, of course, we can go on with that. And then, of course, the Zohar is speaking about the stages that are called the Mashiach ben Yosef, the Mashiach son of Joseph, and then after years will be the age of Mashiach ben David, and the revelation of the wisdom of Moses, that the connection of the finalization of the covenant. Okay? And then the Zohar talks in another place that it's all about dealing, balancing between Ishmael, Esav. Ishmael is the Islamic civilization. Esav is the Western civilization. And how to balance all of them together and bring the world into real balance and world peace based on the original covenant. There's much more in it, but how much can I speak? Thank you so much and have a great week. Remember, to summarize, when you're under pressure, when everything looks like it's exploding, life is exploding, your heart is exploding, you feel you're getting burned, you feel you're giving up, you're too tired, you are simply, your fire is being put, it's because you're not connecting to the covenant, in which you awaken the giving and sharing and loving unconditionally at the same time. You are working and getting yourself excited about life, about your own happiness and your own hope and goals of becoming the most excited and most happy person in the world. Remember that, and you find the covenant, you find the path. Thank you so much.